Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is. And I thank the Lord that He chose to use me in the things that He's doing. I thank Him for all that He helps me to do. And I thank Him for His perfect will. I thank Him for the anointing to be a blessing to His people. I love all of His people, and I want to see all of His people do like Jesus. Sometimes people, we grow from glory to glory. You know, we understand things as we receive the next glory and walk in it. And there's so much that God wants to reveal to His dear people. You know, when people are, you may see good men and women of God. They receive revelation in many years. They can minister well, and they're honest. They're a blessing to be around. But we need the Lord. We need help in various areas of our lives. And some people, they're growing financially, but they may be struggling with healing. Some people they're able to receive healing. And they may struggle financially, or they may not plan well, or situations happen, you know, and they have a pattern of the same problems throughout their life. And God wants to help them, but he can't just come and fix it without their faith and cooperation. I say without faith because without faith, you know, we got to believe God for the changes that we desire. And we got to cooperate, not just believe God, we got to put action to it. So remember something. When Moses didn't want to go and talk to Pharaoh, he complained about he wasn't a good speaker. He had stammering lips, a speech impediment. And the Lord said, "Who made man's mouth?" You know, Moses didn't ask God to relax his tongue. He sent Aaron. He spoke to Aaron, and Aaron spoke to Pharaoh. That's how it went down. It's not like the cartoon, you know, where Moses spoke well. Moses could barely, you know, he had a speech problem. And if Moses said he had a speech problem, he had a speech problem. But Aaron didn't. Now, God could have healed his mouth. God once said, "Who made man's mouth?" But Moses didn't ask. So when people don't ask, then that's why James wrote that you have not because you ask not. If you see a continual problem in your life, all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. And I've done it too. I break it down. I say, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And if I'm going to represent you right, I need to know this." And that's my relationship with him. You can't have a relationship with God or anybody else unless you're honest with them. If you can't be honest and open, you can't have a relationship either. So I'm honest to the Holy Spirit. I'm honest to the Father. I'm honest to Jesus. And God already knows the whole situation anyway. But He wants me to be like Christ. He did a lot for me to be like Christ, and I want to be like Christ. I don't want to be like Thurston. You know, I can make a pretty good mess of things, even though I fix things, and, you know, if I do it in my own strength, it's going to be kind of messy. But if I do it in God's strength, it's going to be perfect. And I put forth a lot of effort to be a good mechanic. That's my trade, and God helps me with it. He gave me the gift. He gave me the talent, and you have to refine a talent. You have to learn things. Anyway, nevertheless, any skill you have is worth delving into the things of God. Now, yesterday's broadcast. Today is Thursday, June the 23rd, 2022. And yesterday's broadcast was called Covenant Ears. And I like that. The day before that, it was, on Monday, the Covenant Wheel, and then the Covenant Wheel sequel. And yesterday's broadcast was Covenant Ears. And I wanted, you know, today, I don't know what God's going to call this one, but I'm going to continue forward. And we've been dealing about with the wheel. The wheel of man, it's curious how it works. And the Lord has been giving me, information about how to be balanced, and he gave me insight about the wheel. I read it yesterday, and we'll probably read it again today. And this time, I want to add some scriptures to it. Now, one scripture in Ecclesiastes said, God made man right, but he sought out many inventions. Now, Solomon wrote much of the Proverbs, and others wrote part of it too. And Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. I have a very strong suspicion. I'll just tell you, this is what I suspect. I believe this. Solomon, because of his witched wives, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, she was Satan's daughter, and she married Solomon, and his foreign wives, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, they turned his heart, not just his mind, but his heart. The Lord appeared to him twice. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he said, these are his words, not mine. I wasn't there. I can't be 100% sure. But for his sake, I really do hope that he returned. It says, so I return. And I hope that he returned to the Lord. Now, the Lord was trying to get him to return. With the wisdom that God gave him, it's highly possible, with David being his dad, he possibly did return. I would have expected him to return. I don't believe Saul returned. I believe he served his prior to he went to hell. But nevertheless, Solomon, to me, Solomon is a representation of Lucifer. Not Satan, but Lucifer. And he turned. But Solomon's not Lucifer. He can go back. Lucifer couldn't. Now, this is why I hope that he returned. I believe that, and I believe this, so I have to put it that way. I can't say God said this and that about that. I believe he wrote Ecclesiastes after he returned, because Ecclesiastes is a representation of everyday life in the world system, or as you're estranged from God. And when you're estranged from God, everything is vanity of vanity. Everything of the world is vanity of vanities. And he showed you the problems that he saw and remembered during his time while he was estranged from Father God. He was out of covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, when you do that, things are not the same. If you're looking through, if you have Satan's ears, you can't hear the world right. You can't hear the word of God right. You're going to hear other things, and you're going to believe it wrong. And when you try to live by idolatry, you're going to live wrong. Wrong. You're going to live very wrong. And everything is vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, what the Lord gave me today was Proverbs 18, verses 1 and 3. God made man right, but he seeks out many inventions. Why would he do that? The enemy makes the wrong things look right, and the right things look wrong. When Joshua and Caleb tried to get them to go and fight and take the land, we're well able to do it, Caleb said. All right. And Joshua was in agreement. And the other 10 spies made Israel say, we can't do it. Then God said, well, that was the 10th time they provoked the Lord like that. So he said, well, what you said is going to happen. You're going to wander the wilderness until you die out. They couldn't go in the promised land because of their complaining. And they kept on doing the wrong thing, not trusting God, and crying out, you know, acting like God was not with them and saying they can't do something, that God gave them the land. Now, not only that, I found the scripture where God was going to drive out the enemies with hornets. They wouldn't have even had to fight much. The hornets was going, if they would have been in covenant with God. But if they're not quite in covenant with God, they were still going to win, but they were going to have to fight. He even said, I'm not going to drive them out in 1 year because the land will be overgrown. This was going to take time to do. And they were going to have to be true to the love of God for this to work. Now, the way covenant works, you can't have covenant if you don't have agreement. And if you can't agree with the foundational structure of love, you won't last. The enemy will make the wrong things look right and the right things look wrong. And it'll puzzle people that don't have a sincere heart. The enemy's works puzzle people. It confuses them. In a state of confusion, I asked the Lord his definition of confusion. He said, confusion is when you don't know what to trust. You don't know whether to trust God, yourself, somebody else, or the devil. And I say the devil. Now, most people, if the devil came talking, well, they might just have enough sense not to listen to him. But the problem is, the reason people trust the devil is because he comes to them another way. Just like in the example of yesterday's broadcast, when Peter said, not so, Lord, be it far from thee, about when he was talking about dying for mankind. Peter didn't understand. So he pulled Jesus aside. No, it was not so. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You see that? That's why. And sometimes people fall for it. If it's a thriving pastor that really loves God, and then his wife goes hard-headed, and she don't think that he ought to make that particular decision. And then she tell him all her reasons why. And it's based on nothing but fear, unbelief, and doubt. It may take her out of her comfortable house. And so Satan to pull her strings, he already baited her a long time ago. And when it's time to go to that next glory, he start tugging on that. He activates the pastor's wife. And she tried to talk him out of it, just like Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? When people act like that, you got to understand, that's not your wife. That's the devil talking. Why am I putting it so blunt? Because this happens all the time. And I'm not talking about no particular pastors, but I'm just using that as an example. When you're on fire for God and want to do his will, anybody, it can be a child, your child, somebody else's child, your parents, your spouse, your best friend, even your pastor or bishop, for that matter. Anybody. Anybody who yields to the enemy in one moment can yield to the devil. And he'll use your face, your voice. See, that's the problem if people are not sincere. If you don't set your heart to follow God. Let's see, the Lord explained to me this week that sometimes people's heart is set. All right, the will can be formed. It can, you know, when the Lord gave what he gave me about the will, he said, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. And sometimes your faith is just like a candle burning. Now, if you don't have a scone and the wind is kind of windy, If you put that candle in a scone, the scone will protect it and it can still burn. All right. So if you walk out in the wind and you're trying to light something and you start a fire, you know, you might be lighting your barbecue grill or whatever, but it's windy. You have to scone it with your hand. You have to put your hand to protect that little flame. See, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can still burn down a forest. If it's a windy day and you struck a little match and you got to protect it, if you drop the match, it can catch it. It can start a forest fire. That's the power of what a match can do. And in the same example, that's the same thing that can happen to you with your faith. If you may barely have just a little bit of faith the size of a mustard seed. But you got to protect that little flame of faith you got from the windy wolves. You know, the windy wolf blew the three pigs' house down in the storm, but he couldn't blow down the brick house. So, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. You got enough faith to get the job done, but here comes people talking, and Satan is inspiring them. Wait a minute, Satan really don't inspire people, because everything he does is a degradation. But he's pulling their strings and they're speaking his words with their voice and their face and putting pressure on you not to go forward with that little flame of yours that's going to burn his kingdom down. So you have to protect your faith. I've had to hide things from people when I knew that I was on track following God, knowing what God told me. Now, when your faith becomes mighty, it becomes like a torch. You know, sometimes we braze, we cut with, we have the cutting torches, the oxygen and acetylene. You can walk out in any wind with that. And some torches, you can take it underwater and cut metal. How strong is your faith? All right, so the will is the sum of your faith and doubt, and it forms after your choices. So once you make you're in covenant with God, but you hadn't done anything yet, and you choose to follow through. Now God is working with your action of faith, and you're going to see something good happen over time. And if you don't let somebody blow out your flame of faith, you're going to see the end result. And you're going to say, this is good. Just like God when he said, let light be. Amen. That was light. And he saw that it was good. You're going to see it was good. That's how your will forms. Now watch this. It forms after your choices. The will can be chosen. Now you can choose to do things God's way in the framework of what you understand. The will can be chosen and developed. It don't stay the same. With God, everything develops. It's a developing path. That narrow path is a developing path that you walk. The will can be encouraged and the will can be discouraged. Now, Satan will try to discourage you against God's will. But, and as you follow God, holy things of God will discourage you against doing Satan's will. So the will can be encouraged and discouraged from both ways, positive and negative, and also positive or negative, and worse than that, negative or positive. So purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. Now, when you look at Proverbs 18, God do good things, but through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Now that's the problem. Through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and meddleth with all wisdom. I like what Mary said. Mary Johnson said, we have to live from the heavenly realm. She's a stickler to that. She believes it. I believe it. And Brother Horton taught it, I believe it. David taught it, I believe it. Ray Wilson taught it, I believe it. All the best pastors I know teach that. We live from the heavenly realm. Now, Satan tries to get us off track. He's trying to get us to make choices from the worldly realm, the fleshly realm, the natural realm. Jesus gave, for an example, Jesus gave us life by dying for us, and he washed us, our sins away with his blood, and he rose again to justify us. Now, that's the only reason we're righteous. But if you, when you study Colossians chapter 1 and 2 and even 3, the enemy came, the corrupt Jews was trying to get the Christians that was growing. They didn't just sit back and watch them grow. They came to intermeddle with the wisdom that they lived in. They came and accused them of not being authentic because they weren't circumcised. They didn't keep certain feast days, Sabbath days. You need to observe all these things that we do. And you eat things that's not clean when God cleaned it up and sanctified with prayer. See, they didn't have to change what they ate. They didn't have to change. Even they didn't have to do feast day. They were not Jews. They were grafted in. And those things don't make you righteous anyway. In fact, those things point to Christ. But when you got the destination, why do you need road signs anymore? The road signs that the Jews observe, even the ones that's under the everlasting covenant, they are there for history purposes, not salvation purposes. And they try to impose it on the Gentiles. See, that's going to bring, now it's going to look like and appear that my righteousness is because of what I'm doing. Now, you've drifted back into salvation by works. And Paul pointed, he made it just as plain as he could. If you're saved by your own works, then you've made the blood of Jesus a non-effect for you. That's how dangerous it is to operate back in the earthly realm. And that's for, if you do that for salvation, you can lose your soul. And everything that the enemy do, when you're doing things spiritually with understanding and wisdom, Satan is the one behind and meddling with your misunderstanding. He's trying to blow out your flame of faith, get you back in the earthly realm of worry, doubt, unbelief. Then, once you're in fear, you're afraid to do the things that's going to put you over. You're afraid to fight back. You're afraid to resist. So, now you're snared. You can't learn the things of God because you chose not to go forward. You let your candle get blown out. And some people are so deceived, they blow their own candle out. Now, that's a bigger problem when you get in the world, start liking the world, and then your heart is set to do this stuff. That's when God can't work with you. That's when people become reprobate. And that's bad. I'm not afraid of it because I'm not going to go down that road. Now, look at what happens to the person that goes this way. Proverbs 18, verse 1 again. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So his heart, he's back in the natural realm, thinking he's all right. Verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. He thinks that he's going to be doing good if he keep doing these natural things for fun. Verse 3, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. You can't be ignorant. You can't ignore truth. Now, Here's the way James put it. James chapter 1. You know, I love the word of God, how God, he keeps us safe. He know what the enemy's going to do. So if you listen to these wonderful men of God, you're gonna stay stable. Let's start at verse 12. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He keeps his candle lit. He scorns it. He don't let the enemy blow it out. And he kicked that windy wolf down the hill. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Only sincere people can do this, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So the devil is 100% always the one who tempts people. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The enemy he'll dangle pretty things before you to get you back in this worldly realm of doing things. Out of the spiritual realm into the worldly realm. That's where you'll be weak. And if he can control you, he can win. Verse 15, it says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, when the Lord saved me, my spirit was clean. It was cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I had a brand new spirit. So from the heart, I didn't want to do any sin. But my mind was the same. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said one time, he said, when an alcoholic gets saved, he still got the same stomach. Your body and your mind, they can desire things that ain't right. You know, and anything that food is desirable. I don't drink. I chose not to. I don't think it's I can't say it's a sin, because Jesus' first miracle was turning water to wine. Wine was in the history of Israel, but they weren't supposed to get drunk. Solomon said, don't look on the wine when it's, don't wait till it's 100 proof to start drinking it. But because people make such a fool of themselves, I don't want anything that, you know, and the way that they make it is, it's made to do that, because they want to sell it. You know, they put, it's got more alcohol content than it should have. So I don't drink. I chose not to. Wine can be good. Paul told Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. We have water, refined water. We don't, there's nothing wrong with my stomach. I ain't drinking. You know, we got water purification plants and bottled water. And, you know, as long as the EPA is doing its job, we'll probably be all right. But with prayer, you can drink water. And you probably won't have to drink more. But I chose not to drink, personal reason. But anyway, the things that God said do will bless you. The things he said don't do need to be observed. If you cling to the Spirit of God, what's coming from the heart of God, that's where you build your life. That's your foundation, and that's what makes your will strong. We need to see things through. And I've mastered some things. I'll say that, because compared to where I was at, I mastered it. And I'm sure there's a lot more to learn about the same things. But the some things that was a huge problem is not a problem at this point. But then there are other categories I still have trouble that I want to master. So I asked the Lord about that. And I prioritized the things that's most important. I want to tackle that. And the things that, you know, I put on the back burner, I'm getting to them. There are other things in my life I want to correct too. And I asked the Lord for better ways of doing things. Now, but when people intermeddle with wisdom, then they're on a fast track to destruction, or a slow track to destruction. Verse 15 said, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is nothing evil from the Lord. Everything of God is perfect. It's pure. It's good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You see that? Promotion is in the will of God for us, and that's our hope. That we will be our first fruits of his creation, of his creatures. That's amazing. God told Adam to be over everything that moves on earth. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not right in the righteousness of God. There's no reason for that. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Perfect. Now, I want to get this in the first half. The Lord said, pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord. Now, when the Lord gave me that explained a lot too. That's why proud people cannot see what God is doing. They can't appreciate it. They can't enter into it. They won't allow themselves to enter into it. Pride never. Now, when the enemy is tempting people with pride and they're acting on